Hi, good morning. My name is Jay Sakashita, and I teach religion classes at Leeward Community College and at UH Manoa. I'd like to thank Reverend Sumikawa and Mo'ili'ili Honganji for inviting me to be a part of today's White Way radio broadcast, and I'd like to thank you too for listening for a little while. You know what I've just realized? It's a good thing we're broadcasting on AM radio because it's still in the morning. Later, it'll be too dark and we can't see. And besides, there's no PM radio. I hope your day is off to a nice start. I like mornings. Mornings are nice because light emerges from the darkness and we can see a new day. You may already know this, but the word Buddha is related to the word see. Not so much see in the physical sense, but more akin to see as in spiritual understanding. For example, when we finally understand something, we say, oh, now I get it, now I see. Moreover, the word Buddha is usually translated as enlightened one. When one is in the light, one can see. And in a few days, we will celebrate Bodhi Day, when after 6 years of struggle, Siddhartha Gautama emerged from the darkness, achieved enlightenment, and helped others to see. Thus, Buddhism helps one to see the world in a certain way, to see connections between what is sacred and what is ordinary, and to see the ways in which causes and conditions arise and impact our lives. In short, Buddhism helps one to see the connections between the individual and the world, between people, and helps us to see how we are shapers of and shaped by the world around us and the world within us. There are several themes that underpin the teachings in Buddhism, including the notion that life is conditioned by suffering and impermanence. Because of the focus on suffering and impermanence, some view Buddhism as a pessimistic religion. Indeed, a Shinto priest told me that in Japan, Shinto takes care of all the happy occasions, for example, births and weddings, while Buddhism takes care of the sad ones. This explains in part why, in most Buddhist cultures, weddings are not usually performed at Buddhist temples. After all, wedding couples do not want to be at the altar on this most joyous occasion, standing there with the love of their life, and have a Buddhist priest tell them, "Nothing lasts, all is suffering." This may be true, but let the married couple find this out for themselves after the honeymoon, and when they meet their mother-in-law. Buddhists, however, argue that their religion is not pessimistic, but realistic. Impermanence is a fact of life. In the midst of joy, there is already the loss of joy. Ultimately, however, Buddhists say that Buddhism is an optimistic religion if one sees things from the right perspective. We all suffer, but in the midst of suffering, there is already the end of suffering. Buddhism, then, offers light to those in the dark. The problem of suffering, then, is not how to avoid suffering, but how to transform it. We may not always be able to control what happens to us, but we can exercise some control over how we respond to what happens to us. And if we can control the mind, we can control ourselves, and we can be in the light and see. One of the most popular stories in Buddhism is about a young woman, Kisako Tomi, who woke up one morning to find her baby boy dead. She frantically ran to her neighbor's house, carrying her dead baby, and pounded on the doors, begging the people to help her. People thought she had lost her mind because her grief was so great. One neighbor told her to go see the Buddha, who was nearby. Kisako Tomi rushed to the Buddha, still carrying her dead baby, and pleaded with the Buddha to give her medicine that would help her. The Buddha told her to get a handful of mustard seeds, one seed from each family where no one had died. She raced back to the village and desperately went from home to home, pounding on the doors, asking people for mustard seeds, but she could not find a house that had not suffered the death of a family member. Instead, she heard stories of others who had lost loved ones too. With each house, Kisako Tomi began to see and understand that death is a part of life. Moreover, as she shared her story of her son's death and others their sad stories with her, her suffering began to be transformed. Grief shared is grief lessened. The sorrow she had for herself transformed into a compassion she felt for others. At the end of the day, she had no mustard seeds, but she returned to the Buddha, who comforted her, and she became his follower. Now, some may wonder why the Buddha did not resurrect the dead baby. In other religions, this sort of miracle would have been expected. Why not here? If the Buddha had brought the child back to life, his mother would undoubtedly have been happy. But what if the child died again? What would his mother do then? How many times would the Buddha have to restore the dead to life in order for one to be satisfied? Denying death does not alleviate suffering or bring happiness. It deepens grief when death occurs instead. On the other hand, accepting death and understanding that each moment is a link to all that came before and all that will follow and, most importantly, will never occur again, inspires us to live our lives fully and will create meaningful and truly happy lives. Instead of healing the body, the Buddha healed Kisagotami's mind, gave her light, and helped her to see. Our eyes are such that they only see outwardly. But the Buddha's teachings help us to see inwardly as well and reflect on our values. 2015 is already coming to a close, and many people and many cultures mark this time of the year with festivals and holidays that celebrate the power of light over darkness. Winter solstice is the longest night of the year, which means after this, the power of light begins to reassert itself. It is no coincidence, then, that the Jewish festival of light, Hanukkah, and the Christian celebration of the birth of Jesus all occur around this time of the year. In Buddhism, too, of course, there is Bodhi Day, when Shakyamuni Buddha opened the path to enlightenment for everyone, so that we, too, can be lights. This is also the time of the year when we think about giving and receiving gifts. We are thankful for the presence from others, and for the presence of others. They light up our lives. And as the favorite child of my parents, I know I light up their lives. In fact, I'm so bright, my dad calls me son. I'm joking. He actually calls me other names that I shouldn't repeat here. And yet, our lives are not only ours, but made up of the lives of others. All of us have special ones who have loved us unconditionally through countless sacrifices, kindness, patience, and caring. They have helped us become who we are. Some are here, some are far away, and some may no longer be in this world. Some may be sitting right next to you. They are the ones who care about us and want what is best for us in life. They may not have a holiday dedicated to them, but they light up our lives just the same. This, to me, makes the season truly meaningful. And so, in the spirit of the season, and in the spirit that conveys the infinite light and infinite life of the Buddha's compassion that helps us to see, let us hope that we too can bring a little light to the lives of those we've been lucky enough to meet during our lifetime. This, to me, is what Bodhi Day is all about. So thank you again for allowing me to be a part of the White Radio broadcast. And thank you again to Reverend Sumikawa and Mo'ilili Honganji for sharing the light of their Honganji community with me. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.